This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I am obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for my son and his wife being in the building today. Hallelujah. Thank God for the young people in the building today. Hallelujah. Can you look at my purse and give me my glasses? Hallelujah. I thank God this young man, God is doing a work in his life. He's very active in his own ministry and singing and all that stuff. I thank God. Thank you, baby. Thank God for him. I had to get these glasses because I couldn't see. Uh-huh. Thank God for him. And our scripture today will be coming from 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you got it, say amen. If you don't, say wait. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God too? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame at his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Hallelujah. I'm going to have you drop on down. To verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore all the land of Saul thy father, that thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'm going to stop right there. May the word of God be a blessing to the hearers and doers of it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Father God, we bless you, we honor you, we adore you, God, for truly you're worthy of every praise, God. You're worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory, God. God, we thank you for your presence being in this place. God, we thank you for the anointing that is flowing even now in this place. God, we thank you for your word that's going to go forward with power and authority. God, we thank you for deliverance happening on today. God, we thank you for breakthrough happening on today. God, we thank you for miracles happening on today. God, we thank you for answering the need of the people on today, God. God, we thank you for your word that will be precise and right, God. We thank you for your word that's going to meet every need, God. We ask that those who are not saved, God, will run to you and say, what must I do to be saved, God? And those that are struggling, God, will find the answer here in the word of God on today. May the word of God be a blessing to the hearers and the doers. And those that love the Lord, say amen. Amen. You may rest your feet. You may rest your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good on today. And he's so amazing. Our text and my thought for today is at the king's table. At the king's table. In our scripture, David said, and thou shalt eat at my table continuously. At the king's table, because David was king then. Now, some of us have forgotten, and some of us are unsure. But my assignment today is to fetch. Somebody say, fetch, go get. And go get. To fetch and go get and remind God's children that the King of Kings, Abba Father, has prepared a table for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Not just any table, but he has prepared a table before us, even in the presence of our enemy. So I am going to ask you a question on today. Where you at? Hallelujah. And those that know, they know and will respond. I'm at the King's table. So where you at? Where are you at the King's table? And I get it. Everyone can't say that with confidence or with authority. Everyone can't say it with their whole chest that I'm at the King's table. And that's all right. That's why we're here today. They can't say it. But my assignment again today is for those who have forgotten and for those who have made abnormal normal. Come on. Abnormal is not normal. Abnormal should not be normal. Dysfunction shouldn't be made functional because we have a seat at the King's table. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me at the King's table. Let's get into this text. I'm going to go back, and it'll make sense all after a while. All right, to really get a good understanding of what I'm talking about, let's go back a little bit. You see, back in 1 Samuel, Saul, King Saul, and his son Jonathan was killed in the battle on Mount Gilboa. King Saul and his sons were all killed dead. There was a war going on back in 1 Samuel, and when they went to battle, King Saul was killed. Not just King Saul, but him and his son Jonathan and his other two sons were all killed. And when they were killed, the word went out. So now let's walk on down through the text. So now down in 2 Samuel 4:4, we learn of Saul's son Jonathan and that he had a son. Come on, stay with me. That he had a son. And the son's name was Mephibosheth. And the Bible tells us that he was crippled, some say lame. He was crippled and he was lame as a child. You see, when he was 5 years old, when the report came to the nurse that Jonathan and Saul had been killed, the child's nurse heard this and was afraid of the news, so she picked up the child and fled. But as she was running, y'all, she dropped the child. Let's put a pin right there. As she was running, she dropped the child. You see, when there was a battle going on and when there was a transitioning of power, of kingship, they would kill the king and all of his lineage. So she thought in her mind, let me pick up this baby that I'm caring for and let me take it to a safe place. But in her fret and in her fear, she ran and she dropped the child. She dropped the child. In trying to get him to a safe place, she dropped the child. Let's look at the word drop. Some of the meaning to drop that stood out to me is abandon. Something that is dropped, it is abandoned, it is just left there. It is excluded, it is overlooked, it is discarded. And some of us in our lives have been abandoned. Some of us in our lives have been excluded. Some of us in our lives have been overlooked. Some of us in our lives have experienced rejection. Oh, come on now. Somewhere in your life, you've been dropped. Whether you want to admit it or not, you've been dropped. I know I'm in the house today. You have been dropped at one point or another in your life. And if you haven't, somebody you know have been dropped. Now, he was dropped by someone, the very person that was caring for him, the very person that was supposed to be taking care of him, dropped him. Man, I wish I had some people who was brave enough to be honest that they have been dropped by the very people that was placed in their lives to care for them. Come on, there's freedom. I've been dropped before, dropped by the person I trusted. So during the divorce, I was dropped. Come on now. During the divorce, I was dropped. During the betrayal of my friends, I was dropped. During the betrayal of my best friend, of my husband, I was dropped. The family member that touched me inappropriately, I was dropped. My mama left me with the sitter. She didn't know. She just left me with the sitter that was supposed to care for me that ended up abusing me. I was dropped. The rejection, the hurt, I was dropped. Come on, the death of a loved one, I was dropped. Next in line for the promotion, but somebody else who was less qualified got it. I was dropped. I was dropped. The one I promised my life to and said I would love them and them only cheated on me and abused me. I was dropped. I'm on somebody's road when I know it. The nurse that cared for the baby was dropped. Dropped. And what happened when the baby was dropped? The baby was dropped and was crippled because he was dropped. Because he was dropped. Something that is crippled or disabled is limited in movement. I'm going to tell you how I know some of you were dropped, whether you want to admit it or not. You find yourself stuck. You find yourself where you can't produce. You find yourself where you learned how to put on a mask and go through life like it is all good. But when you go home, you're crying your eyes out. Dropped, crippled, disabled, limited in movement. It said he was disabled in both his feet. You've been dropped and you're disabled because instead of dealing with the situation that you have before you, you just tend to put it under a mat and cover it with life. How we do that? We begin to cover it with coping mechanisms. Dropped. In our lives, we make abnormal normal. Hallelujah. We learn to live with the hurt. We learn to live with the hurt that hurt us. We learn to overlook and deal with it with coping mechanism of what hurt us. But don't look at my feet. Just look from up above. But don't dare look at my feet, because my feet is crippled. Don't dare look at me. Don't take a deep look at me, because I'm crippled underneath. You can stand beside me. You could be in this part of my life, but I can't let you over on that part of my life, because I'm crippled on that side. We tend to put in place coping mechanism. What are you talking about, minister? Well, I tell you. So instead of dealing with the hurt of being dropped, I just tend to start to smoke. Come on, we begin to cope by smoking. We begin to cope by drinking. We begin to cope by sleeping around. We begin to cope by lying. We begin to cope by betraying. We begin to cope by pretending. Come on now, we begin to cope. We begin to cope. We begin to cope because we have been disabled. And I'm doing all these things not because I want to do. Because if I wanted to be free, if I wanted to live how I wanted to live, I wouldn't have a problem with alcohol. If I wanted to live how I wanted to live, I wouldn't have a problem with smoking. If I wanted to live how I really wanted to live, I wouldn't have a problem with sleeping around. I wouldn't have a problem with lying. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Today, there's freedom in the house today. I know it's hard. It's going to get better. But I got to first get you to see that you have been coping with some things that God wants to cover. Woo! You've been coping with some things that God wants to cover. You see, we go through our day in and day out. We get on that job and we smile and we do what we're told to do. And once we go home, we cry our eyes out. We are hurting. We are hurting and in despair, and nobody knows, because we tend to cover our feet. We don't want nobody to see our feet. So I cope with all types of things. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you're disabled and you have a disability or you're crippled, sometimes you cope so much that it won't allow you to cry out for help. It won't allow you to say, I'm struggling and I need help. I'm struggling and I need help. Financially, I'm struggling and I need help. Mentally, I'm struggling and I need help. Some of us have been holding on to what has happened to us for a long time since we've been dropped. But God is saying today, be free, be free, be free, be free, be free. Be free of the guilt. Be free of the shame. Be free of being, of replaying what has happened to you. Be free of that on today. Be free of that, because who the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And on this day, I decree and I declare, no more coping, no more devices, no more covering up of our own will, no more compromise in the name of Jesus, because I got a seat at the king's table. Hallelujah. Dropped, crippled, but that's all right, because God remembered me. God remembered me. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel 4, the nurse who had good intentions, good intentions. You can't be mad with you because some of us was dropped by a person that had good intentions. Ah, my God. They had good intentions, but yet they dropped us. Was dropped. Dropped. And the nurse just in haste picked him up. She didn't check him out. She didn't see, oh, if he all right. Being a therapist, I know sometimes the first few hours are important for recovery. The first few hours, the first days are important for recovery. She didn't split his feet. She just picked him up and kept on going. The Bible don't tell us that she took care of the injury. And sometimes we go through life and we go through years being injured and crippled and nobody has heard our cry. Because if his feet were broken and he became crippled, I promise you that baby was crying. Who have been ignoring the cries of the people? Crippled and crying. God said, I hear your cries on today. Hallelujah. He said, there's no reason my people should be suffering in silence. Ah, and what happened when the nurse, let me get back in the text. What happened in chapter 4 was the nurse picked him up and she fell, she dropped him. Mm-hmm. She fell, she dropped him, then she picked him up, and then she took him down to a place called Lodabar. Took him to a place called Lodabar. Now, Mephibosheth has no business in Lodabar. Had no business down in Lodabar. His granddaddy is the king, after all. His granddaddy is the king. He's the son of the king. Mephibosheth should be in the palace. Mephibosheth had promise. Mephibosheth is anointed. He has a future in front of him. But he ends up in Lodabar. He ends up in Lodabar. What's wrong with Lodabar? What's wrong with Lodabar? The problem with Lodabar is that it is a place with no word and no pasture and no production and no communication. Lodabar is a place of no word, no pasture, no communication. What does that mean? The heir of royalty is down in a place where nobody can speak to who he is. The heir of royalty is down in a place where nobody can pour into him, where nobody can communicate, where he can't produce for what the fruit that is really on the inside of him. Where he should be in a palace eating at the king's table, he found himself in a low place of Lodabar. Lodabar, a place where he doesn't deserve to be at, a place where he should never have been taken to. He's in a place that don't look like who he is. Come on, come on. How many of us have found ourselves in situations that don't look like the promise that God has promised me? Things that are going on around me, but this don't look like the promise God promised me. Have you ever found yourself in that place? I ain't gonna be before you long. That does not look like your promise. Come on. Anybody ever felt displaced? Anybody ever felt like, I know I got more inside of me than this. I know I'm greater than this. I'm a king's kid. Why am I going through this situation? Come on. Mephibosheth is in a place where no one can speak to the gift, to the royalty, to the anointing, to the blessing that's on the inside of me. Who is he? Nobody can speak to that. He's living in a place where depression is common. As a matter of fact, Lodabar is the manifestation of the word depression itself. Huh. My God. Lodabar is a place where there is a loop of hopelessness. And he just wasn't taken there. Mephibosheth was there for 15 long years. 15 long years. Have you ever been in a season in your life where it seemed like God has forgotten about you? Have you ever been in that moment where you say, God, how long? I don't know about you, but I've been there before. I've been there before. Yes, I know who God is. Yes, I love the Lord. Yes, I'm anointed. But there are times and there have been times where I say, God, how long? God, where are you? God, I need you. God, I've been praying a long time. God, why? Why haven't you pulled me out yet? Why haven't you healed me yet? God, why haven't you delivered me yet? And as I'm asking God these things and I'm wondering these things, I keep going. And God is saying the same thing for us today. Keep going. Don't look back. Keep pushing. God has not forgotten about you. Part of my assignment is to remind you, God has not forgotten about you. I know it's been a long time. Loneliness seemed like it's your middle name, but God has not forgotten about you. Despair seemed like it's attached to your back, but God has not forgotten about you. Sickness seemed like the place where you live, but God has not forgotten about you. Yeah. My God, my God, my God. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward to the mark. I know your situation feels like a loader bar where there's no word and there's no communication, where there's no deliverance, where there's no way out. You just feel like you're stuck. But God say, keep pressing. Jesus, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pushing. Because one day, one day, one day, somebody say one day, one day, one day, in 2 Samuel 9 is where we find our text that we read. I'm almost done, y'all. David asks about, is there anybody left in the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? What I love about this is that Saul, the same Saul, King Saul, that tried to kill David, not just one time, King Saul tried to kill David several times. The same Saul that tried, that was throwing javelins at David, the same Saul, King David now turns and say one day, is there anybody left out of the house of Saul that I can bless for Jonathan's sake? Come on. It was because of the covenant that Jonathan had with David years ago that he was able to remember this one day. It don't say what day long, how long it was. We just know that it had been 15 years since Mephibosheth's father and grandfather was killed. Why does that matter? I'm glad you asked. That tells me that it doesn't matter what happened in my family. It don't matter what my grandma did, my granddaddy did, my great-great-great-great-granddaddy did. It doesn't matter. God will still put my name on somebody's heart. God still remembers me in spite of what my daddy did. Let me take you here. God still remembers me in spite of what I did. He's saying, say, anybody I can bless out of the house of Saul. That's what's so good about it. That's what's so good about it. It don't matter what they did, because somewhere along the line, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind, and they took a little time, and they prayed for me, and I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. One day, is there anybody in the house that I can bless? Anybody in the house that I can bless? David was in a position to honor the covenant. One day, David asked. One day, it was just, it just came to David and dropped in his spirit, and David inquired. It was one day that David remembered the covenant and asked, is there anybody left in the house of Saul that I could show the goodness of God to? And Ziba said, yes, and tell him Jonathan has a son lame at his feet. Now, isn't it funny how Ziba was a servant of Saul? So he knew Jonathan's son's name. But he said, yeah, Jonathan had a son who was lame at his feet. So don't think it's strange when people call you by your disability, when people call you by what you've been through, when people call you by who you were. He didn't have enough decency to call him by his name. He called him by his disability. Come on. Your past like to recognize you as your past because they are not granted access to your future. So all they could do is call you by your past. Know that. Come on, come on. And truth be told, we're all ex-something in this place. Ex-drug dealers, ex-prostitutes, ex-liars, ex-thieves. Hallelujah. Ah, you said not me. Yeah, you stole that time off your job. Ex-thieves, ex-backbiters. Come on, we're all ex-somewhere, somewhere. But that didn't matter to David. He didn't care about that. David said, go get him. He didn't care about where he was. He didn't care about what he was doing. He didn't care about his position. He said, go get them. And God is saying, go get my children of God today. I don't care where they at. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what disability they have. He said, go get my children. He didn't care that they was down in Lodabar. He said, go get my children. I don't care. I don't care. God said, I don't care. 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 Fetch him. The King of Kings is calling us up and out of Lodabar. I don't know what your Lodabar might have been. Whatever your Lodabar might have been. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he's calling us up and out of a place of no word. He's calling us up and out of a place of no production. He's calling a place where they don't communicate to who you are. They only call you by your disability. Up and out. Come on, at the king's table. At the king's table. The Bible tells us that when Mephibosheth came to King David, because David had done fetched him and sent for him. And at this time, Mephibosheth was before King David. And the Bible tells us that when Mephibosheth came to King David, he fell on his face and reverenced the king. He fell. Oh, that's a whole nother time. He fell on his face and reverenced the king. And what did the king do? The king called him by name. The king called him by name and said he will show him kindness and restore all. Somebody say all. The land of Saul, thy father, thou shalt eat bread at my table forever. Somebody say forever. Come on, come on. He showed kindness to him. David says, not only am I going to restore what should have been yours, you will eat at the king's table forever. I know you suffer for a long time, but God is saying, come take your seat at the king's table. I know you've been dropped when you was a kid. I know you have a disability, but come and eat at the king's table. I don't care what has happened to you. You have a seat at the king's table. This is what God wants his people to know, though, today. Mephibosheth said, oh, thank you, Jesus. After all that, King David said he was going to do for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth turned and said, after all that, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog? Even been told he has a permanent seat at the king's table, he still saw himself as a dead dog. Hey God, and God is saying, some of us have been in a Lodabar state for so long that we begin to call ourselves, and all we can call ourselves is what people have called us, of what our circumstances have deemed us as, a dead dog. After 15 long years of being there, his surrounding had penetrated his spirit. And God is saying, today he wants to free you from all of that. You are not your circumstances. You are not your surrounding. You are up and out of Lodabar. So when I call you to sit at the king's table, know who you are. Never say that I am a dead dog. We bind the spirit of Lodabar in this place. We bind the spirit of Lodabar off your mind, because you are not your circumstances. You are not your situation. God has called you a king's kid. Not one time in the word where I saw what God called me a dead dog. Not one time has he ever called me that. Has he ever called me that? But Mephibosheth have been in this circumstance for so long till that's all he know and all he thinks he is. And that's the trick of the enemy. That's the trick of the enemy, because all he could show you is your past, because he don't have a glimpse into your future. He just know that God is a good God. He know the ability of God, but he don't know what God has for you. He don't know your future. So if he could keep tugging on you, if he could keep pulling on you and keep you stuck in Lodabar, you'll never step into the promises of God. Hey. He said, come and have a seat at the king's table. Come and have a seat at the king's table. Now, that picture don't do the king's table justice. Let me tell you something about the king's table. The king's table is always adorned with fine linen. The king's table is always adorned with fine linen. And what happens is, when the king's table is adorned at fine linen, I'm all right, Josh. I could do it. My son always be worried about me. When you sit at the table, it covers your feet. It covers your feet. So although Mephibosheth had a disability, his feet were covered. Although Mephibosheth had a circumstances where he was lame at his feet and crippled is what they called him, his feet were covered. So it's at the king's table we're covered. We're not a dead dog. We're not our circumstances. The Bible said we are children of the king, children of the Most High. We are the king's kid. We are anointed. We have a right to the tree of life. We are healed. We are delivered. It's at the king's table where we're covered. Anytime you feel like you are a dead dog, when you feel like you're your situation, get back at the king's table. Get under the king's table. That's where your covering is. That's where your covering is. That's where the covering is. And although I'm sitting here covered, it is a spiritual indication that when you dig into the word of God, you are covered under the word of God. So if you're not in the word of God, we need to dig into the word of God, because that's what covers us. That would remind us. That's what let us know that we are called and justified and redeemed. That let us know that we are decreed as heirs of the word. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are anointed. We are just. We are called ambassadors of Christ. Any ambassadors in the place. The righteousness of God is who God calls us. Huh. He calls us chosen. He calls us redeemed. He calls us blessed. He calls us peculiar people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Striving where you at? Where you at? Come on over to the king's table. Come on and stand on your feet. I'm done. I'm done. Hey, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Hallelujah. 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 There's covering at the king's table. There's deliverance at the king's table. And another thing, thank you, Holy Spirit, about the king's table. This is a table you can sit and be vulnerable at. Because when you're at the king's table, there are guards all around the king's quarters. So when you're at the king's table, you don't have to worry about what the enemy's going to do. You don't have to worry about what the enemy's going to say, because our king's table is our refuge. It's at the king's table. It's at the king's table. Depression can't live at the king's table. Sickness can't live at the king's table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freedom is at the king's table. Deliverance is at the king's table. Joy is at the king's table. Hallelujah. Nutrients is at the king's table. Hey, hey, hey. The standards are raised when the enemy comes in like a flood. And I'm at the king's table. The standards are raised. Yeah. At the king's table. At the king's table. Shriver, where you at? At the king's table. And I'm covered by the glory of God. I'm covered by his word of God. I'm covered. I'm covered. All I know to do is to sit at the king's table. And it covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Anybody at the king's table. Anybody at the king's table. Lodabar has no place in my life. Lodabar has no space in my life. Lodabar has no refuge in my life. I am at the king's table, where I can get the word, where I can get food, where I can get communication, where I can get production. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Now, I do realize that some of us have forgotten the authority that we have at the king's table. We're still worrying about other things. But while we're sitting at the king's table, God is taking care of everything. Everything. And some of us have still been in the mindset of Lodabar. It looks good when you're looking at us right on. But my mind is stuck in Lodabar. I'm getting ready to do the three appeals. If y'all could play some soft music, that would be great. My mind has been stuck in a place called Lodabar. That's where we find some of us, because I know Striving is a blessed ministry. It's a blessed church. Everybody is doing well. Everybody is doing great in this part of their life. But there's yet another part of our lives that is stuck back in Lodabar. And God is saying, today, I want you free. Hey. I want you free and up and out of Lodabar. I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of playing and thinking that everything is all right. I want to be free from Lodabar. That thing keeps playing in my mind over and over again. Every time I go forward, it seems to pull me back. I want to be free from Lodabar. Come on, if that is you, meet me up here at this altar. There are some that say, I've been at the king's table, but I got one foot under and I got one foot out. Today he wants you free. He wants all of you covered under the table, under the king's covering. Under the king's covering. If that is you, just meet me here at this altar. Hallelujah. God, I need you.